Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for this day, and we just ask that you would be with us in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We're trying a new microphone today, and it's coming from my lapel instead of... So if I'm too loud, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. So, anyway, this morning we're going to look at Israel and the wars going on there, plus watering the seed of your mind. So I'd like to begin by, let's just stand to our feet again and read from Mark chapter 13, verse 7. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be you not troubled, for such things must needs be, but the end shall not be. And then Matthew 24:6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. All right, let's just bow our heads one more time. Gracious Father, thank you for this word. And help us, Lord, to just straighten up all this, the thoughts going on about Israel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I hear so much that we should pray for Israel about this war, etc. But Brother Branham said, it won't do you any good. I'd like to read from, I perceive that thou art a prophet. He said, well, it has to do with friends. There's no matter how much you pray, how much you pray for wars to cease. Just remember, this coming from me, if you believe me to tell the truth, it won't do any good. We're at the end of the road, and God said that the world would get in this condition. So here we are. It's a signpost. When you see these things come to pass, lift up your heads, your redemption draws nigh. Then let's be ready. Let's meet our Lord in peace if we can. May God bless you till I meet you again. Now, so many people are praying for these wars to cease, and they have no scripture for their prayer. They don't realize that they should be focused on going home, not focusing on Israel. When Brother Branham said, Israel is a time clock, it's just showing you how things are wrapping up for the Gentile bride and the coming of the Lord. But as for the church timepiece, it is showing them that tribulation is next for them and for Israel. When Israel became a nation, it was a sign on the clock that the parousia had begun. They said, what will be the sign of your parousia? And he said, wars and rumors of wars. And when you see the fig tree blossoming or putting forth its bud, know that that it is near the door. But the church is going into the tribulation with the Jews. Why? Because they turned down Messiah. Only 144,000 of the Jews will make it. The 144,000 and all others go through the tribulation and will be purged during that time. That is about 1% of all Jews. 41% live in America. Why aren't you praying for them? You know, if you're going to be praying for Israel, why aren't you praying for the Jews in America? You see, 41% of them live in America, and 41% live in Israel. God is going to strike down and destroy America. He won't spare the Jews. They're looking for the return of the red heifer so they can continue with the blood sacrifice. But our Bible says that that was done away in Christ, for by one sacrifice God has made atonement forever. And speaking of this, Jesus says from the Bible, Hebrews 10:12, but this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. But they have rejected that sacrifice. You're praying for a people that have rejected the atonement. All right? I'm looking for my Jesus to return. I'm not looking to Israel. The signpost of Israel becoming a nation has already taken place, and they are as corrupt as they were when Jesus first came. In fact, they're even worse. There were no LGBT XYZ isms back then, but there is now. There were no sodomites running Israel back then, but there certainly are now. Today it is worse than it was then. They are more liberal than the United States and Canada and Europe. They have accepted their ways to be one with the nations, and God never forgave them for that sin when Balaam tried it with Israel back in Moses' day. Brother Branham said only 3 were saved out of the whole bunch, out of 2 million people. Well, there's 53 million people there. All right? So it is not about Israel. It's about your soul receiving Christ's appearing, his parousia, then getting your soul ready for his coming. The rest of the world is going into chaos, and so is Israel. It is written, so shall it be done. to pray contrary to that won't do you one good, bit of good. So said our prophet. The New Testament does not preach about Israel. It preaches about Christ. Get your eyes on him. Israel is only a distraction for the bride, but the church is all caught up about Israel. Now notice I said the bride is a distraction, but the church is more than that. They're caught up into it. There's just a handful of people that God will deal with in Israel. The rest of them are just filthy liberals who accepted the LGBT propaganda. We are not dealing with the Wall Street type Jew, Brother Bram said in the first seal, only the 144,000 that are really Jews. They may call it the Holy Land, but why then are they living so unholy? There's nothing holy about Israel. There's a holy God. All right? Topless bathing on the beaches, that's what they were doing. They were having sexual dances and everything else, and then they got massacred. Homosexual living, their government pushing a vaccine upon his people that changes them from being human to becoming a transhuman, call that godly? I don't think so. Brother Bram said Gabriel deals with the Jews, and he is coming again to get them ready. But only 144,000 will receive it. So don't think Israel is a holy people. They are a corrupt people. And don't forget, Alpha repeats in Omega. And in Alpha, he was crucified by the most so-called holy people in the most holy city. That's total rejection and repudiation of God manifested in flesh to him. Oh, they read the same Bible you read, but they don't see the manifestation of it. The Jew has always been the enemy of the cross, but the enemy of the Jew is also your enemy. Figure that one out. But you don't win a war by being a Mr. Nice Guy. You don't win terrorism by killing just a few terrorists. You wipe them off the earth once and for all. And that's what Israel intended to do. A person that worked for the IDF said, they were in a bunker and they said, a cockroach couldn't cross the zone without them knowing about it. They got a call. A cockroach, she said, that's all. She said, then how did they send in bulldozers and trucks and airplanes and everything else? They knew about it. It's been going on for 2 years and they knew about it. And they did nothing about it. Why? They wanted a 9/11. All right? The government wanted a 9/11. Why? They want to get rid of, once for all, that pesky Arab influence in Israel. All right? That is why this so-called war is not a skirmish. What the Palestinians did shows their lineage back to Cain and to the serpent. Look, they are worse than an animal. Animals don't decapitate their prey and then eat them up. These people do. All right? There is no room to cohabitate with them. So Israel will wipe them out as in the Old Testament, but Israel is not so innocent themselves. So God will sort out who is and who isn't, and we are told that 144,000 are the innocent. You may pray for them. They are the children of the real Israel. You see, the Bible says you can pray for the children of Israel and the children of God, but it does not say one place, it does not say pray for Israel. The prophet, not in one place, he says to pray for Israel. He said, our pastor said that this morning, but he said, listen, Israel is just the fig leaf budding. It's just a signpost. That's what Brother Bram called it. All right. There are only two who are commanded in the Bible to pray for the children of Israel and the children of God. But not all Israel is Israel, Paul said. They which are of the flesh are not Israel. So those people that say, well, I can trace my lineage back to whatever, it doesn't matter. They're not Israel. Israel is in the heart. All right. And that's 144,000. He said, just they that are of the same spirit. But you might say, well, I don't know who the 144,000 are. Well, God does. So let him sort it out. All right? Just keep focused on getting out of here. All right? Because the whole world's going to turn like Israel shortly. Now, from the world falling apart. The time of Christ's first advent, I believe we could say the world was falling apart. It was a corruptible time in politics, a corruptible time in religion. The whole system had become corrupted. They'd mingled in, injecting other things and man-made theories into religions and so forth until the whole thing was corruptible and the world was falling apart, and now the Romans was praying for the Messiah. The Greeks wanted a Messiah. The Jews wanted a Messiah. And God gave them a Messiah, but they didn't want they didn't want it the way that he gave it. Okay? From presuming. And that's the reason I rake across the clergy here. How can you read the same Bible I am? So did those 400 prophets down there in Israel read the same Bible as Micaiah read. But he was willing spiritually to take his stand. Amos in his day, that fearless prophet of God, he walked up there in Samaria. He looked over that city and he seen all the corruption was in it. He said, the very God that you claim, that you love, will destroy you. He seen the corruption of it. They were presuming they were all right. So is Israel. They had their priests, their synagogues, they thought, just as long as I'm a Jew, circumcised, that's all I need. They claimed that they served God. What had they done? They'd taken the fashions out of the outside nations. They have made an alliance with them, and they thought as long as they had favor with the outside nations, well, that's all that they needed to do. They made alliances. They stripped their women. That's what they're doing today. They walked through the street. They burlesqued and everything else. And that old prophet standing there and his eyes narrowed over his beard. The tourists come from all over the world around to see Great Samaria, but that prophet seen it through a different eye. Now, are we looking through a different eye? Are we looking through the eyes of God? Are we looking through the evangelicals? Because you find all the evangelicals, pray for Israel, pray for Jerusalem, pray for Israel. It doesn't say that. It says pray. There's one place that says pray for the peace of Jerusalem, not the peace of Israel. The peace of Jerusalem. In other words, just a handful. All right? So you think in Omega, this day, that it is any different? Get your head out of the sand. 1 Corinthians 1:22 says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, it's what? A stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now Romans 9 and 6 says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Look at the sons of Jacob. And I know that, you know, that they have a certain special favor and they did repent. But look at how they showed just a serpent nature selling their brother into bondage. If it wasn't for Joseph, they'd all have perished. That's the legacy of Israel, all right? So turn your eyes on Jesus and get them off of Israel. Look to see what Jesus is doing today. Forget about what the nation of Israel is doing. They've made a lot of mistakes as a nation. That is just a signpost, as Brother Bram told us. As far as I'm concerned, I have a whole lot of questions as to what happened and why it was allowed to happen. I mean, in fact, Egypt said, hey, we've known it for 2 years it was coming, and we told Israel it's coming, and they didn't do anything about it. This thing took place in the minds of the Arabs 2 years before it happened. Israel, why was this parameter that's like, I don't know, 20 feet wide or something like that, and then they got two fences, and they got in between, they got bunkers, everything. Why was nobody there? Why weren't the drones in the air? Why wasn't Israel's planes got their eyes open over Gaza? You know, Gaza's only 25 miles long. You know how long it takes a plane to fly 25 miles? Justin, you know. You know, divide by 600 miles an hour. That's just, you know, an hour. Less than an hour. You know, in an hour, they're going, phew, phew. I mean, actually, no, it's less than an hour. It's going to be, what, 25? Huh? Yeah, a few minutes. Just a few minutes. All right. They could have been gone over it many, many times. It's 7.5 miles wide. All right. Israel is at 290 miles long. It's 85 miles wide. It's a very small country, but yet it's the most has the most security in all the world, except for on that day. Why on that day they didn't have it? Why on the day of 9/11 didn't we have it? Huh? We all know that our government did it. Well, who do you think allowed this to happen? the government. Why do you think they allowed it to happen? They want to clear house. They want to get rid of all of Gaza. All right? They, under Clinton, you know, they were bribed and whatever to rip Israel in half. And the Bible says, woe to them woe to them that split Israel, okay? For they shall be split. Now, notice, it's a tiny nation. An IDF soldier said they can't figure out what happened to Israel's security because when they worked there, they were in bunkers every so many feet apart. And if a cockroach even tried to cross that barrier, they would get a telephone call. But they let bulldozers come in and create holes in the gate barriers large enough to drive trucks and about 400 terrorists to drive through. And where was their drone protection? And for men to fly into Israel's airspace in fan-propelled kites with machine guns mounted to them right out of Hollywood and Mad Max apocalypse type stuff. Egypt warned Israel, and they did nothing about it. They said they planned this operation for 2 years, and the so-called intelligence knew nothing about it. Or did they? I mean, Egypt said they told them. I think the Israeli government used it as an opportunity to clean house. They knew it was coming and could have stopped them even before crossing over the gated barrier, but they've adopted the American democratic policy of never let a... what's the word? A good crisis go to waste. In other words, they knew it was going to come. Hey, let's let it happen so we can use it, okay? All right. Now, that's my take on it, and you may have yours, but we will see at the White Throne when it is all played back, if they knew or they didn't know. All right? Just remember, Satan runs all governments of the world, even Israel. And Jesus said so, and let not be a distraction from you what God is doing right now. I looked up in my Bible, and I looked up in the Message, and it is not William Brown. He never says, pray for Israel. The Bible never says, pray for Israel. Do a word search. You won't find it. So why are all the evangelicals saying, pray for Israel, pray for Israel? Defamation League propaganda, all right? And they've all bit off on it, hook, line, and sinker. Okay? One time the pastor of the Bram Tabernacle did say, pray for Israel, and Brother Bram corrected him, saying, you don't know that is just putting forth its buds, Israel is. All right? It's a sign. Now the sign is already taking place, so let's move on to the next sign, right? But the Bible says to pray for the children of Israel and the children of God, but never for the nation and its people. So if you are praying for that nation, stop it. It is not even scriptural. Look it up for yourself. I've done the homework, and you should too. Now, from thinking man's filter, Brother Brown said, Israel was all outwardly spiritual, all filled with God's goodness and how they reverenced God and so forth. But that didn't work. The inside of them couldn't recognize the word itself. But when you're born of the Spirit of God, you are a son of God, and you always was a son of God, and you will always be a son of God. There's no way to separate it because you have eternal life, and eternal life never did begin. Neither will it end. Okay. Again, from God of this evil age, he said, notice, all right, this evil age is darkness, yet belongs to church. They're God. They love him for it, the way he lets them do it. They have no condemnation. Nothing bothers them as long as they belong to church. Balaam taught the church the same thing. Let us unite. We're all the same. It was a last trick. God never did forgave them for believing such a lie. Remember, it was an unpardonable sin 3 times in the Bible for any person to add one word or their own interpretation to God's word after it had been vindicated the truth. In the Garden of Eden, one word added caused death. When Balaam added the word that we're all the same, God never did forgive Israel for that. Every one of them perished in the wilderness except the 3 that God brought out. That was Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. Jesus said they're everyone dead that's eternally separated. They've all gone. Never was forgiveness. It's unpardonable sin. Never forgive them. Oh my, flee children of the evening light. when Israel joined the United Nations, it was over for them as a nation. They did their job. They blossomed into a bud. That's all it is. Do we spend as much time looking at the other 82 events that have taken place? No, we say Israel become a nation. Israel become a nation. Hallelujah. The end is near. Israel become a nation. No, it's already here. 82 things have taken place, not just Israel become a nation. Wars and rumors of wars. I mean, persecution, everything else. It's already here. You see? From anointed ones to the end time. Reprobates concerning, not reprobates in living, their fine culture meant. Now notice, when Moses went down to Egypt with a message of thus saith the Lord, and was vindicated, and called on Israel, which was a people, not a church. Israel was a people. They never was a church, because the word church means called out once. They were the people of God. Then when they become anointed, notice the then. Then when they become anointed, under the word, and called out, they become a church of God. And then, T-H-E-N, then backslid because they believed not the word of God and listened to a false prophet. I hope that sinks in. Israel being a people of God, come out under a hand of God, anointed with the word, with the power of God, seeing the signs and wonders of God. And then when God moving on with them, a false prophet come in, anointed, and taught something contrary to the original word of God that they heard, and every one of them perished in the wilderness besides the three. Besides three people. From anointed ones to the end time. Now, notice, here he comes. Hananiah jerked off his yoke, off his neck, a symbol of God, broke it, and said, thus saith the Lord, 2 years they'll be back, just for a show-off. I'm so-and-so. Because he stood, he was an organizational prophet. Jeremiah was a wilderness man that lived by himself. He prophesied evil against them all the time because they were evil. Now just think, if the people of Israel were evil in that day, what are they today when they've adopted the LGBT, they've adopted the sodomite UN legislations and stuff? All right? And this man was telling them, oh, you're all right as long as you belong, as long as you're Israel, that's all that's necessary. You see, as long as they're Jews, they can kill people and do whatever they want, and we'll just pray for them. No, we won't. I hope you're not. If you want to pray for anybody, like I said, the 144,000, that they have strength to make it through their tribulation. Because they will go through the tribulation. Because they've already rejected Christ. Now, during the tribulation, they'll accept them. And they'll have to give their lives for it. Just like Moses and Elijah will have to die also. All right? We won't have to die because we've already accepted him. You see, God ain't going to do that. I know there's a little something happened here, but don't be alarmed. Don't be scared. Oh, brothers, they still live today. Don't worry. Everything's all right. We got everything under control. We're the church. Don't you think that. Yeah. Now, from trying to do God a service, he said, and God told Balaam that he was a prophet first. He told him, don't go down. But the influence of these other men caused him to do it contrary to what God said to do, and it become a curse instead of a revival. Oh, sure, he got down there and taught the people, saying, now look, wait, you know what? He said, we are Moabites. You remember Lot's daughter is our queen. She is our originator. We're all of the same one blood. We're all of us denominations are the same. Don't you mix with that thing. Stay away from there. See? So he said, we're all the same. Why, you people is like my people. You can intermarry among another, so we can have a real ecumenical council. See, all of us can get together and come back to the original thing again. And God cursed the thing. That sin never was forgiven Israel. If it was never, it's still not today. All right? It stayed with them the rest of their days. And it never was forgiven. And they perished in the wilderness with it. That's right. Because they didn't take God's provided way by his vindicated way of doing it. Notice, this thing that they did caused Israel to die the death in the wilderness. And Jesus said, there everyone perished and gone. Watch who it was, stood with Moses back there, Joshua and Caleb and the program. Now from Joshua, he said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. So you have to make a choice. Make up your own mind what you are going to become. A strong man cannot help an unwilling man who does not wish to be helped. And you cannot help the Jews. They're unwilling. I mean, they call the cross, they make fun of it. They call Jesus blasphemous names. So you just can't help someone who's not willing to be helped. And even then, the man who's unwilling must come to the place that he so wills himself to become stronger on his own, for he must by his own efforts develop the strength which he admires in others. There is no one outside yourself that can alter your condition but God. He can only rise, conquer, and achieve by lifting up himself and yield himself to God, and thus changing his thoughts to receive God's thoughts. For God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our thoughts, than our ways. Therefore, he can only remain weak and abject and miserable by deferring to lift up his thoughts to God's thoughts. No man can succeed on his own. He must have the help of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said, "It is not him that willeth or runneth, but God that showeth mercy." And it also says, "It is God working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." The problem is that God is here showing us his will that we might do his good pleasure through us. But is that what we are willing to yield to? Is that what we want, his mind to change our mind? Or do we want our way, which leads to death? For the Bible said there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but they are the ways of death. So in order to want God's ways, we have to purpose ourselves that we want his will and what he wants. That's which brought his thoughts with his energies and his actions, and therefore to do so, we must allow our own body and soul to yield ourselves into one energized being, for it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is why we must arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. And he told us in John 17:20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which believe in me through their word, that they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, which is the doxa, the opinions, values, and judgment, which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." So if God's word says nothing about praying for Israel, and you say, "I'm going to pray for Israel," guess what? You're off God's word. You're not praying what God wants you to pray. He wants you to pray for yourself. "Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace." All right? So you can see, you cannot become one with him until first your mind is one with his. Now Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." So you are the one who has to take the commitment to allow your mind to go and receive his mind. Brother Branham taught us that, from God in his word, he said, "You put me on record tonight in these recorders. I have no apology for this remark that I'm fixing to say. I believe and can prove that the right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass." Yes, sir. The right mental attitude, and you've got to have the right attitude. And the attitude is what brings the results. If you say, yes, I believe it, but I don't know now, that's not the right attitude. The right attitude is to receive and say, "Thus saith the Lord," then it's right. So can you say that pray for Israel is thus saith the Lord, when God didn't ever said it? No, you can't. So don't say it and don't pray it. And from his sermon, "What Think Ye of Christ?" he says, you say, "Well, I don't see any results," but that don't make any difference. You got it anyhow. See, because the word of God is a seed. Is that right? And we are sowed with the incorruptible seed of God. See, it can't perish. It's incorruptible. And here's a statement that I usually make in the healing service. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. See, because it's a seed. It has to. And from his sermon, God's covenant with Abraham. What do you think? You put the wheat in the ground and commit it to God, and it's God's duty to see to raise it, that it raises. That's the way that you do the seed of God. Listen to me. The right mental attitude towards any divine promise of God will bring it to pass. I don't care what it is. If you commit the right mental attitude towards the promise for his promise, every word of God, Jesus said, the word is the seed, and every seed is a promise in there. And if you just take them seeds into your heart, no matter what it is for, God will honor it, and it'll bring forth just exactly what it promised. And again in the sermon, hear ye him. He says, there's something about the reading of the mind that's eternal. A reading of the word that's eternal. Every Christian should read the word every day. For Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I wish to state this too. And remember that every promise in this Bible is good, and it will hold as a type, and God's guilty of his promise. If you take the right mental attitude towards it, it'll bring it to pass. Every divine promise in God's word, if you can take the right mental attitude towards it, God will bring it to pass. Think of that. For it's a seed that a sower sowed, its life. And from the inner veil. There is an intellectual faith, and there is a faith that comes from the heart. The old unbeliever said years ago, when the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, said, that's crazy. There's no mental faculties in the heart. Said, you think with your mind. There's no faculties in the heart. But last year they found out that's wrong. God was right. Right down in the heart, in the center of the heart, there's a little compartment where there's not even a blood cell in it. It's of the animal heart. Not in the animal heart, it's only in the human heart. And they say it's the occupation of the occupant of the soul. The soul lives in the heart. Then after all, God was right when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart. And finally, And again he said, from looking at the unseen. About 4 years ago, up in Chicago, I was reading of a great headline in the paper where there was a medical science had found a little compartment in the heart of a human being that did not even have a cell in it. It was not found in the animal life. It was only found in the human body, the human heart. And they said it must be the dwelling place of the soul. So then man does think with his heart. You look with your eyes, but you understand with your heart. And from his sermon, God is his own interpreter, he said, what I mean attributes was his thoughts. And a word is a thought expressed. And then that was in his thinking. And when he said, let there be, and there was, let there be, and there was. And now remember, you Christians were his thoughts before there was a world. And you are the manifestation of his thinking. Therefore, before there was even a world, you were in Christ. Amen. In God in the beginning. And again, paradox. He said, if we're sons of God, the attributes of his thoughts before the foundation of the world will think the same things, same of him. And remember, brothers, he is the Word. So just remember in John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Well, if the Jews haven't received him, they don't have the power, do they? All right, the word is exousia. And it is not the power like miracle working power, which is dunamis, but exousia, which means an ability to make the right decision, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, I know some of you think, well, Israel, the Jews are my brother. No, they're not. Moses was your brother. He had the Holy Ghost. David had the Holy Ghost. He's your brother. Those people that have the Holy Ghost are your brothers. But like Paul said, not all Israel is Israel. And not all Jews are Jews. And not all Jews are your brother. So be very selective in your prayers. And from his sermon, Identification, then he said, God came down, and the character of God was Christ. And he was a reflection. He was made visible. Notice, made visible in the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No, a God is an object of worship. Only thing he was the eternal. And in him was attributes. And those attributes were thoughts. And those thoughts were expressed in words. And words was made manifest. And guess what? The Jews turned it down. All right? These things are going to happen. When you see the atrocities in this nation, they're going to happen too. When you see them happen, you say, well, I better be praying for them. You'd be better praying for yourself and for the elect of God that you know. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word is true, and everything else is a lie. And so, Lord, we thank you that your prophet never said, pray for Israel. And the Bible never said, pray for Israel. He said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And he said, pray for the children of Israel and the children of God. And so thus we shall. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm not chewing you out. I'm just trying to lay the facts straight. All right? Don't be influenced by so-called Christianity in America. It's not Christian. It's not Christian. They are not Christians. They're all a bunch of heathens because they believe in Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost, three gods. Well, heathens believe in three gods. All right? We believe in the one God who had his Son. Israel doesn't believe he had a Son. All right? We and the Muslims believe one God, but they don't believe Jesus was a Son either. And the Hindus believe in, 300 gods or something. So just believe in the one God who had a Son, and you are one of his brothers. Amen. God bless you all.